T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Never was, never will be a free lunch. So remember that. Thank you, Dave. We're going to talk to Don Dubuque now, our friend, who is the host of the Outdoor Show that you hear every Saturday morning. And I love that song, Louisiana Saturday Night. How you doing, Don?
Hey, Tommy, I'm good, man. Enjoying this really nice fall weather early.
Tell me about what effect that has on hunting. Where do we stand now? And for people that know this or lost track of it or whatever, where do we stand on duck hunting? What seasons are we in?
Well, the only hunting seasons we have, and it's unfortunate because tomorrow is National Hunting and Fishing Day, although it's kind of a sweet and sour day because all of the activities due to the COVID pandemic have been canceled all across the state. Normally they have big organized celebrations, but that doesn't keep you from going out and doing your own little National Hunting and Fishing Day celebration. On the hunting side, the only seasons we have open, got a couple of areas. We got 10 deer hunting zones in Louisiana. A couple of them, the early bow season is open. Migratory birds, we have teal season, will wrap up on Sunday, and also the dove season in the northern zone of the state. So we've got on October 1st and 2nd, we've got pretty much the whole state will open up for archery for deer and the small game seasons for squirrel and rabbit. But for this weekend, if you're going to get out and hunt, pretty much dove, teal, or if you're in North Louisiana, some of those other parishes have an early bow season.
Did Ida affect any of that in terms of where you can hunt or the hunting itself? I don't know if the animals changed their behavior or whatever. I've never hunted, Don.
You got to do it, Tommy. It's never too late.
Well, I ask you to take me, but if you won't take me, I say you take me fishing.
Well, we got to get you safe with this gun thing. You know, the gun thing, we got to get you. Well, I think you're pretty safe, though. I think you've been to some training classes. You're probably pretty good.
I have, yes.
Well, we'll have to.
I'd love to go.
Well, you just got
to
make time. Just got to make the time, Tommy.
So has it changed?
But as far as Hurricane Ida, okay. In the past, some hurricanes have caused some severe flooding that's lasted, and these storms have come in a little bit later during the season, and it strands, particularly the deer, they'll get to levees where they're stranded, and it makes hunting an unethical, unfair situation. It's not considered fair chase, and there have been some closures. But this year, nothing has been closed. There's nothing intended to close as far as the hunting. It will affect it, though, particularly waterfowl. There's a lot of damage to the marshes. There's a lot of changes in the marshes, and this applies to fishermen, too. Areas that you know like the back of your hand, they've been changed drastically, some of them, by marsh grass being pulled around. And I don't know if you've heard this new latest term called a Cajun iceberg. Have you heard about those?
Mm-mm.
Cajun iceberg is when a piece of what some people call flotant, it's like floating marsh, or some of it is actually anchored to the bottom, is ripped up by a storm, inverted, in other words, it's blown upside down, and continues to float around. And what you see on the top is much smaller than the bottom, thus the name iceberg, although it's not made of ice, it's made of marsh and grass, and you got to be careful for those things. Some of the waterways that you're going to be used to using that will open are going to be rearranged, and particularly I'm talking about the Cocodrie area, Terrebonne, Lower Terrebonne, some of those areas down there, Dulac, Dularche, Terrio. Those areas were the most severely impacted as far as marsh loss. However, I'm even hearing some in some of the areas like Delacroix and Point Lahash, there's also some marsh rearrangement there. But as far as affecting the game, Waterfowl are going to go where there's food, and there's going to be some areas that are compromised because they've lost submerged aquatic vegetation, and those birds will either go east or west or stay north and not come to those typical areas. But as far as deer hunting, small game hunting, let me tell you, wildlife can survive these storms. They've survived them for millennials, and they're going to continue to do that. It doesn't nearly affect them as bad or disrupt lives as it does humans.
I get a text here that says, please ask Don to go over that Cajun iceberg thing again, because that sounds like that could be very dangerous.
Well, it can. You can run into it, and particularly if you're running in low-light conditions, like if you're heading out to a duck blind early in the morning or you want to get an early start on a fishing spot. And what it is some parts of the marsh, they're like little islands, they've been ripped up by the force of the wind and the tides, and they've been actually flipped upside down. So what you've got is a little mud ball with some roots sticking out, but underneath you've got a really solid mass of grass and mud together, and it can be an obstruction and can be a hazard to boating safety. So you got to be aware of that, and they've just nicknamed them Cajun iceberg. So that's kind of what that's all about.
Do they just go away on their own? Eventually they dissolve?
Well, yeah, eventually they'll just kind of break up or actually take root somewhere where they drift in, and that's how the face of the marsh actually changes. I saw some graphics showing some of the areas around Lafitte, which was really hit very hard, and the Lake Salvador area, and believe me, there's some new cuts, there's some new passes, and they're still waiting for a lot of that water to recede and the silt to kind of work its way down. So we'll actually see what this new version of a marsh will look like. But you can expect some changes from what you're used to seeing out there, no question about it.
I know you know those areas like the back of your hand. Can you, is it perceptible to you where you can go out after a storm and then you realize, and I'm not trying to be over dramatic here or anything, but the full power of nature where you can see how it has to what you were just saying, rearrange things?
Absolutely. Sometimes it looks like it. Mother Nature just took a piece of carpet and rolled it up and wow. Pushed it aside and moved it around. And I can recall after Hurricane Katrina, I hunted a spot for years in Delacroix that you access by push pole and a pirogue through the marsh, and there was a spot that was a little island where I had a blind on it, and I couldn't even find it the first time. I mean, it was just not there. It was somewhere else. Everything was changed, and you got to be aware of that. I recommend going out there in good daylight, doing a couple little reconnaissance missions, going to your favorite spots, those ones that you knew so well, and really checking them out well and marking indications and looking at the map and kind of getting your bearings and know where you're going. Now, this is pertaining to the areas that were really hard hit. There's a lot of areas in Louisiana that really were very affected very little and won't show much change.
So for somebody, seriously, and I was talking about you taking me hunting, but for somebody that wants to get into hunting, they've never gone, they're new to the area, they know we're a sportsman's paradise, they don't really have any friends that hunt. How does somebody like that get into it and start enjoying all of this?
Well, if you have a friend, neighbor, you can just, you know, ask if they can come along and kind of learn the ropes. Or mm-hmm. They actually have some programs that is put on by the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries where particularly youngsters, it's called like a hunter apprentice program where they will match you up. People volunteer their time, and they'll bring someone who doesn't have anyone to kind of introduce them into the sport to get them involved into it. And then you've always got professional guides, just like in fishing. Duck hunting and goose hunting particularly has become more of a guided sport simply because to have the gear that you need, the guns, the decoys, the surface drive engines, you got to pay for a leash, you got to build a blind. The expense is very high, so a way to go is just go with a professional guide, and they provide all of that for you, and also a lot of knowledge and let you do it safely and learn how to do it.
Including the guns?
Yeah, they'll bring guns if you need guns. A lot of times
wow.
They will, yes.
So how would you find one of these? For example, if somebody's listening right now and wanted to go duck hunting, maybe not this weekend, but next weekend, they could set that up?
Oh, sure, absolutely. You know, you can look under Louisiana Duck Hunters. There's a lot of guides there. Or just go on social media on a site like that and put you're interested in hunting and here's where I'd like to hunt, here's where I live, who's got openings, and you see that all the time.
Mm-hmm. Is there a way to vet these people? Because I don't want to meet somebody with guns that I don't know. Or
well, if they just tell me, Don, check them out.
Meet me 5 o'clock Monday, Sunday morning or Saturday morning. Make sure you got $300 on you, and I'll be waiting for you. You want to make sure you're doing business with the right people, right?
Well, yes, you do. Now, we do have a law that's going to be changing next year. It was just passed. It's not enforced now, where if you take someone duck hunting, you're going to have a guide license. Right now, they do not. Fishing guides do, and if you go to the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries website, you can find out who is a properly licensed and permitted guide, and that will tell you a lot about them. It's not going to guarantee you're going to catch fish or that they're really good at it, but at least they have all the proper insurance in the background, and they've taken the test, and they're safe as far as bringing you out there and getting you back.
Chances are they won't take your car and just leave you in a parking lot.
Hopefully not. No.
Yeah, that's I don't know if that's the worst possible case, but it's bad. Don Dubuque's with us, our friend. Good to talk to him as always. We're going to pick it up when we come back. If you have any questions or comments, you can text 504-260-1870, but you're going to have to call 504-309-1053, and that's because of some post-IDA upgrades that are taking place. So if you want to talk to Don, 504-309-1053. If you want to text 504-260-1870, we thought we'd have him on to talk about hunting and fishing. It's a time of year for it, post-IDA here on WWL. We'll be back in a little bit. If you love Louisiana's great outdoors, get your weekend started with our guest, Don Dubuque, the Outdoor Show. It's a Saturday morning tradition for the LSU game. If you get up early, like I do because I can't sleep late, it's fun to listen to because it makes you feel like you're out there. Don shares weather updates, fishing, hunting reports, interviews with the outdoor pros, plus calls from lovers of the great outdoors like you. You can celebrate the majesty of the Bayou State with Don Dubuque, the man who knows the woods, the waterways, and Louisiana way of life better than anybody. It's the Outdoor Show tomorrow morning, 5 till 7 on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. I love that song, Don. That's why I played a little bit of your theme song. Tell me about fishing. Red snapper season opens today. Is that it?
Yeah, we got a really great opportunity for red snapper fishermen. The way red snapper works, it's been the most mismanaged species in the history of the world. But now that the states have taken over basically the management away from the federal government, things have gotten a lot better. Thanks to a program called La Creel, which allows fishermen pretty much real time to report their catches, we assign a quota of total amount of fish that can be caught during a season. Then they tally that up. The total this year was about 832,000. The estimated catch, was set to end on Labor Day, through Labor Day was about 587,000 and some change, which means there is a difference of 245,000 pounds of under-harvested red snapper that we did not hit the quota. And that was for a lot of reasons: hurricanes, storms, people not getting out as often and catching them. So they have allowed fishermen now, they've reopened the season beginning today, and it's 7 days a week. Normally it's 3-day weekends except for the holidays when you can fish on the Mondays also. But 7 days a week, you can keep 4 per person per day. During the regular season, it's 2 per person per day. So it's double the regular limit. Minimum size is still the same. They got to be at least 16 inches long. You need a basic license, your saltwater license, and an ROLP, which is free. It's a recreational offshore landing permit. And by filling out that permit, you get questioned on your catch. And when you turn that in, that's how they estimate how many of those quota fish have been caught. So I'm going to say this is going to go for probably quite a while. Depends on the weather, but it looks like we've got some nice settle down weather where you can get offshore, so it may go pretty quickly. But this is a really good opportunity to get out and catch 4 of those big red snappers. Great opportunity for this weekend. Some of the other fishing that's going on, go ahead.
No, go ahead. You wait, that's what I was going to ask you. You're reading ahead.
I was just going to say, speckled trout, we're kind of in that transition period for speckled trout. This is the time of the year where they move from the big open bays along the beaches, the coast, and they make a transition into the interior marshes. That is ongoing now, and until that kind of settles out, they're going to be difficult to find. You got to find some clean water. We've still got some dirty water, a lot of rotting vegetation, the grass that was pulled up, so conditions for trout are not optimum. But redfish this time of the year, as those water temperatures start to cool off, they get more active. Red fishing's great. We normally get a little spike in flounder fishing, particularly in Lake Pontchartrain, about the middle of October, so I'd be looking for that too. And there's going to be a little bit of a shot in the arm for freshwater fishermen, the bass and the brim and the white perch or sockeye, whatever you want to call them. When the water temperature cools off a little bit, they get stimulated too and get more active in feeding. So should be a great fishing weekend. We got some pretty light winds. It's going to start off a little breezy from the north, but then it's going to calm down. So offshore, inshore, freshwater, saltwater, all should be pretty good. The only thing you need to really be careful of is infrastructure. There's a lot of the marinas that are still down. Some are back open. Some have live bait. Some have nothing. They've got no ice. They've got no gas. They've got no bait. You can't even use the launches. So you got to check out the area you're going before you head down there and be aware. But outside of that, it should be a really good fishing weekend.
I was going to ask you about that and what, you know, talking about you talking to the pros on Saturday morning. I know I went on a charter trip out of Cocodrie one time. And just had one of the best weekends of my life. Is anything up and running down there? Or tell me about that. What are you hearing from people? And also about Venice while you're at it.
Yeah, well, Venice, the Venice Marina is open. If you headed down to Plaquemines Parish, Delta Marina came through it pretty much unscathed. He was behind those floodgates, and that saved probably 9 or 10 feet of water from coming into his marina. He's got bait. The restaurant's back opened up again, so Delta Marina right there at the Empire Canal would be a really good spot to go. They got guides operating out of there. Grand Isle is still devastation. I would steer clear there because there's a lot of work going on. The property owners, the construction, they've got some crews down there that are still removing sand, and Grand Isle is not ready to accept people, and very limited supplies if you're going down that way also. But you know, the other way, St. Bernard is up and running. The marina's there. And some of the ones around the Slidell area, Lake Pontchartrain, Rigolets, they've still got some marinas open there. The Rigolets in particular is one, Rigolets Marina. And Lake Catherine Marina, they're somewhat back in action. But depending on what you need and what you want, you might need to check all that out before you head down.
When I see people fishing in these drainage canals, and you know, I don't know if they're eating these things or not, do you really want to eat anything that comes out of those canals when you figure all the streets and everything else are draining into it?
Now, you're talking about, you know, urban drainage canals?
Yeah, like the West Metairie
Canal?
And then, like, back in Plaquemines Parish, I'll see it, like, the canals that drain the streets. In Jefferson Parish, I see it as well.
Yeah, that would be questionable. You know, a lot of times fish do not absorb toxins, and if they would, it would kill them. But, you know, particularly the bottom feeding fish or the fish that are on the upper end of the food chain, people are surprised to hear it, but if you look in the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries website or the regulations pamphlet, there are quite a number of lakes and streams and bayous that have warnings about fish consumption, about how many of these fish you should really eat in a month's time, and particularly applies to young people and also pregnant women, and you may be surprised to find some of those areas. But, I mean, it's pretty much eat at your own risk. You know, if things like oil and street debris is being run off into a canal, I certainly wouldn't. I mean, there's better things to eat. But if it's a waterway canal, you know, some of the ones around St. Bernard and Plaquemines Parish that pretty much drain marshes and the water's pretty clean, I wouldn't have any problem with that.
And look, if you want to do that and catch fish, that's fine. Just don't eat them. That's all I'm saying. I just don't want anybody to get sick. When it comes to the Cocodrie area and all of that, I don't know if you covered it or not, but what are your friends and contacts there telling you? Have they been hit really, really hard in that whole area?
Yeah, they had a really bad problem there. The water topped their new levee that was there, and it kind of acted as a detriment on the water getting back out of there. It took a lot longer for it to get out, and it hung in there. And most of those marinas are inoperable. A lot of the camps were destroyed. There's a 112-year-old grocery store down there called Laparus. And we went and did a feature this summer for television on it, and it was pretty much wiped out. Survived every storm until this one, but there's been some people saying that Cecil, the owner, is going to come back, and others said he told them that he was pretty much done. So it's kind of a sad situation. Cocodrie is not one of the places that I would head. That lower Terrebonne area and Lafourche area is hardest hit, and probably best thing to do is stay away from it. You know, Tommy, one thing I wanted to talk about this weekend,
go ahead.
You know, people on National Hunting and Fishing Day, is the Hunt for the Hungry program. And they're really going to need your help this year because, listen, a lot of people lost all the fish and game they had in their freezer. And so what this program does is it asks people to clean out their freezer on this particular weekend and bring it to a number of sites they've got set up all across the state and donate it. And where it ends up is people like Jay Weiss with Second Harvest Food Bank and some of the other soup kitchens, they make good use of this fish and game. They love to get it, but unfortunately, it's going to be in short supply because so many people lost it this year. But if you do have it, go to cleanoutyourfreezer.com. And they'll show you the locations. I'm going to be at one on Sunday. I'm volunteering to help collect some of the fish and game at a place called Pyre Provisions. It's a restaurant on Highway 21 in Covington, and I'll be there Sunday from 1 to 4. But they're set up all over the state. And last year, they collected 24,000 pounds. This year, they're not expecting to get that. Some of the collection sites aren't even going to be open because they're in areas that are still suffering devastation with no power and damage to the buildings where they did it. But if you can help, donate what you have. The idea is get the freezer cleaned out, make room for the new fish and game that's coming in.
And the website again, Don?
CleanYourFreezer.com. CleanOutYourFreezer.com. Or go to Hunt for the Hungry, and you'll find it there. Also, by the way, I've got, if someone's interested, if they lost fish and game, and they're concerned about how to get their insurance claim, what the value of fish and game is, because you can't buy it, you got to go out and get it. I have a list of the values of all the fish and wildlife in Louisiana, and I can send them a copy or give them the link to where they can find that. So when they're making their insurance claim and you're trying to figure out what's the value of venison, well, you don't buy venison in a grocery store, and this can be at least a starting point to give you an idea of what to tell your insurance company to claim it.
Thank you, Don. You're a nice guy, one of my favorites. I love talking to you. Have a good weekend, all right?
You too, Tommy. Thank you so much.
You bet. Don Dubuque, host of The Outdoor Show, 5 o'clock tomorrow morning. We'll take a break, find out what...
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.